Now, my kids, they aren't sure whose responsibility the garden is, except it's not theirs. So it's not a garden, it's a jungle. And as you fight your way through the jungle, you scratch yourself on a thorn bush. And you arrive mortally wounded on our front doorstep and ring the bell. My wife opens the door, and as I told you, she used to be a professional nurse. And she sees you bleeding to death on the doorstep, and with the deep sympathy that professional nurses always show, she treats your wound, and hopefully you recover, and you don't die. In fact, you even have a happy stay with us. And when you're ready to leave, I personally escort you back through the jungle. And as we pass the thorn bush, I draw your attention to it. And as you look very closely at it, you discover there isn't one thorn on there, because I've been out with my little garden snippers and I've clipped off every last thorn on it. And I say to you, look, no thorns. Isn't that good? Now you come back next year and you won't scratch yourself. Not only will you not scratch yourself, but we are going to have the most wonderful crop of bananas. Come and enjoy the bananas next year. And you go away thinking to yourself, there's something bananas around here. It's not that bush. What's the bush going to produce? Thorns. It's that kind of bush. If we want to eliminate the thorns, we've got to get rid of the bush. It's not my problem, is. I'm a sinner. That's my problem. And sinners produce sins as surely as thorn bushes produce thorns. And if we want to get rid of the thorns, we've got to get rid of the thorn bush. And if we want to get rid of the sins, we've got to get rid of the sinner. See, suppose I have this heinous sin of smoking. And then I exercise some iron discipline and I stop smoking. And I congratulate myself, man, I have stopped smoking. Am I not something? Boy, the willpower. And then I meet you, you see, and you say you've stopped smoking. And I say, yes. That's great. And I say, yes. Wasn't it a struggle? And I say, no, it's pretty easy, really. You know, it's all the Lord. Give the credit where it's due. And you go away thinking, what a spiritual person. And I stay there thinking, am I not great? Not only have I overcome the smoking habit, but I'm humble with it. See, and I'm not only, now do I not smoke, but I've replaced smoking by pride, hypocrisy, and further pride. And I've exchanged one sin for three sins. You can exchange the kind of sins you produce. What you cannot do is stop producing sins, because sinners produce sins, just as thorn bushes produce thorns. And if you want to get rid of the thorns, you've got to get rid of the bush. And if you want to get rid of the sins, you've got to get rid of the sinner. So Achan was stoned, his wife was stoned, his kids were stoned, his animals were stoned. All his property was brought out, and they made a huge bonfire of the lot. And then they made a monument to last down the generations. And then the place of troubles became the gateway into the promises of God. And that's what Hosea is saying here. He's saying, I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. He's saying, I will bring you into a dark valley of troubles. And when you go through those troubles, you'll start to listen. And you'll start to pray. And as you pray, and as you listen, and as you search your heart, I will reveal the source of the problem to you when you're listening. And as I reveal the source of the problem to you, as you go through that valley of troubles, then you will deal with the problem. And you will deal with it radically and ruthlessly. It's no good playing around with it. It's no good saying you're sorry when you're not. It's no good saying, I'm sorry and I won't do it again, but you know very well you will. You've got to get right down to the root, and you've got to deal with the root, and the root is not the sin, the root is the sinner. And until we deal with the sinner mercilessly, you know, and he's a very whinging sort of character, and he's very subtle, and he'll always come crawling back. And always say, well, you know, okay, I'll lay off the beer, but let me keep a little praise to myself. Let me keep a little bit of control somewhere. Don't surrender everything. At least let me keep this little secret back here. Don't destroy me altogether. You know, if you shared that secret and it became public, that would be awful. But unless we deal with the root, all we're going to have is a new tree, a new set of thorns. And so we go through the dark experience, we go through the valley of troubles until we're prepared to deal with the root. And when we deal with the root, overnight, the valley of troubles becomes the doorway into everything that God's got in store for us. And we'll be looking at that tomorrow. But what has he got in store? First of all, hope. Are you full of hope at the moment? Are you excited about the future? Don't just mean because you're going down to Corpus Christi at the weekend or something, or escaping in 3 weeks' time. Are you excited about your future with God? There's hope. She'll sing that. You got a song? Inside? As in the days of her youth, she's going to become young again. And as in the day when she came up out of Egypt, that's freedom, when you get out of Egypt. So the Valley of Troubles is a doorway into all of that. Into all the ongoing blessing that God has got stored up for you in his mighty heart of love and in his inventiveness and his wisdom. And he's going to take you on through there as you listen to him. It's maybe just time to develop the idea of freedom. Real freedom is a condition of the heart. It's not a matter of where we are. It's not a matter of whether or not there are rules we've got to live by. There are always rules. Your government has rules. Your church has rules. Always rules. You might even be in prison. But freedom is a condition of the heart. It's being free to do everything that God wants you to do. And there is nothing that can prevent you from doing everything that God wants you to do except you. Nobody can stand in your way. If God opens a door, no man's going to shut it. If he prepares a way for you, nobody's going to prevent you from walking in it. Only yourself. And you can be free to do everything that God has in mind for you. If the Son shall make you free, you will be really free. You'll be free from loneliness because he'll be there. You'll be free from guilt because he will have lifted it all. You'll be free from frustration because you'll always have what it takes to do what he wants you to do. He gives it to you. There are plenty of people who think they're free and they're really not. I once saw a young man interviewed. He had stolen approximately $2 million. He and his friend bought two large motorbikes, 1300cc motorbikes. And they decided that they were going to go on a tour of this country and they were going to do anything and everything that occurred to them. And they did. They went all over the place, saw all sorts of places they'd always wanted to see. They committed quite a lot of crimes along the way. They just knew no rules, didn't observe any rules at all, just did exactly what they wanted to do for 2 years. And then they were caught, and this guy was interviewed. And in the interview, he said, I want you to do, and going exactly where I wanted to go, and I don't know what freedom is. Freedom isn't going where you want to go and doing what you want to do. Freedom is knowing in your heart that you're right with God. Freedom is knowing that you're doing what He wants you to do. Freedom is being able to fly in the Spirit and not be bound by the ties of sin and greed and selfishness. It's freedom. You free? Is there anything that would prevent you from doing all that God wants you to do? Not some plans or some ambitions or some connections that would stand in your way of doing what God wants you to do? Then you're not free. Freedom comes from dealing with the sinner and experiencing the life of Christ. Let's pray together.